Hello, the mic is brought up and it's locked in.
Look at that, the magic of the iPad. We have a big group today for the GloucesterCast 231. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11.
On the higher end of the spectrum of guests yeah. on the GloucesterCast.
That's awesome.
And we're in the, so this is where we try to, this is actually an exercise in losing weight through sweat. Because we're in the office. We should have weighed everybody as we came in.
We're being buried alive.
You gotta get on the lobster scale.
This is very, yeah, so yeah, close the window. This is all part, you know, Lindsay, it's all part of the craft though. Like you have to, the more you suffer, right? Because Lindsay has a fan 3 inches from her head, but she says no, for the craft, for the play, we want the audio to be crisp. So we're gonna shut the fan off, even though it would bring relief to the group. She took one for the team, and we shut the other window that would provide a nice cross breeze, because it's all about suffering here at the GloucesterCast. We're here. We got a couple of different subjects today. We're gonna start out with the effect.
Yes.
At Gloucester Stage.
Right.
Once again, Gloucester Stage once again brings in top tier. Okay, did you come because of her, or was it more about you wanted to get to Gloucester in the summertime and the beaches and stuff like that?
Twofer.
Win all the way around.
Yeah. So I got to get to Gloucester. Oh, wait a minute.
We're going to do introductions
there. I think I have a plan. And it worked out.
All right, we're going to go around. We're going to do the introductions. Everybody's going to say their name. Go ahead, Rick. You can speak.
Rick Blue, interloper, chauffeur for Lindsay this morning. I have nothing valuable to say other than that.
You always moral support.
Moral support.
Moral support. Yeah.
Lindsay Krause.
What is your role?
I play Dr. James, Dr. Lorna James in The Effect.
Okay.
So there are two doctors that are running a trial, a medical trial. Brad plays one, and I play the other.
All right.
Annika Schultz, Education Apprentice.
Elizabeth Pritchett Montavon, and I'm the Management Apprentice.
At Gloucester Stage.
Katie Lewis, and I'm the Production Management Apprentice at Gloucester Stage.
Heidi Dallin, Media Relations Director and Director of the Youth Acting Workshop Program at Gloucester Stage.
Caitlin Pizzeni, representing Next Generation K-Band.
I'm very excited about that, too. We have some cool stuff happening there.
I'm Brad Hall. I'm the podcast apprentice at GloucesterCast.
I love it.
Karen Fischke, Dreamtime Wellness and Gloucester Tees.
Good morning, Gloucester. It's Kim.
Very exciting stuff happening in the plover world.
Yes, it is. Very exciting.
This is probably the biggest week for the plovers ever.
Yes. Well,
We're at a critical point. Critical point.
They were born about 11 days ago on Thursday. So is that 11?
And you say it takes a month, right?
After a month, you
feel a little bit more comfortable. Is that what it was? Yes. We're going to get to it. But.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it. But yeah, it takes about a month before they fledge. And the longer, like if they make it to 2 weeks, then their survival rate
This weekend is. This weekend. This next 3 days is unbelievable.
Right. These are chickens. These are plovers. Little piping plovers. Little endangered.
Oh, plovers.
Yeah.
Oh, plovers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The little endangered birds that are living on Good Harbor Beach right now. This is the second year in a row that they've nested.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
They're. It's very exciting. We have a whole bunch of plover babysitters out there.
Like, you know.
Yeah, because that beach is crowded right now.
So yeah, it's a critical juncture.
It's very insane right now.
And like, so they started, was last year the first time they nested there?
Last year was the very first time we'd have them on Good Harbor Beach as far as anybody's.
And they didn't last.
They didn't make it.
But this year they've gotten much further along. And there's a plan in action. There's some volunteers, some very exciting stuff. But very exciting stuff. So let's talk. We're here. The lead is The Effect. Tom did a review.
A review on it. Yeah, it was great. He loved it. We both loved it. We both went to the show and I can't do everything, so it's great that he's started to write the reviews.
Yeah, we have a real writer writing real reviews.
He's a real writer.
As opposed to the hack jobs that I put across, what I push across.
Did
not.
Kat Ryan came.
Yes, she came. And she said she came because of Tom's review.
Yeah.
So that was really sweet.
And she posted something. She also posted about that you can take Prosecco into the theater.
Yes.
So
did you
forget about the acting. Forget about the writing. Forget about the lighting. Forget about all that. You can bring booze in.
Yes.
Perfect.
So yes. We sell the booze.
But I always thought you had to, I never
guzzle
bought
it before you went
right,
in?
Right, so I never bought one because I thought you had to guzzle it. Now I'm like, oh, that's fantastic.
Wow.
So here's the plan. If you're like kind of on the verge, like your wife might think you're an alcoholic, but maybe you are an alcoholic, right? So you say, oh, I'm going to the play tonight, honey. Right? What trouble could you get in the play, right? You go by yourself to the play, get a seat in the back, and just Prosecco all day long.
And we recently upgraded the wines and the beers, so
Prosecco.
It's
very... We barely get water backstage.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
Well, these girls are three of the apprentices run the concessions, so... They'll be serving you your beer and wine.
We're
so.
Talking later.
I thought it was BYOB. I was going to bring a cooler in tomorrow. Just put it down in front of the whole thing.
Tailgating.
I guess that would be no.
Tailgate.
That's a no.
Set up sausage stand.
That's a good idea.
Tailgate for the show.
Sausage, peppers, and onions like the Fiesta. It'd be perfect.
That'd be perfect.
A little Gloucester flair.
But this is the last week for the effect. So this is the last chance to see it. And we have kind of a... We have a performance that we don't normally do that we've added this week, Wednesday, July 5th, a 2:00 matinee.
Oh,
and that's your best chance for great seats.
Because it sold out this past weekend.
Yeah, yeah. We have a show this afternoon at 2:00, sold out.
Yeah.
The weekends normally sell out.
So it's playing from now until when?
Till Saturday, July 8th.
Okay.
There's two shows. There's... Wednesday at 2:00, Wednesday, July 5th, and then 7:30, and then Thursday and Friday at 7:30, and then Saturday, July 8th, closing night, 2:00 and 7:30.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to talk a little bit about the premise of the play?
Lindsay does.
Nice work.
He's going to pay for that tonight. Now, the play is basically set as a medical trial for antidepressive drugs. So this is not the great news, you know. I mean, if people hear that, they go, oh, God, who wants to go see that? The play is funny. The play is...
I was wondering.
It's very thought-provoking, and it's very moving. And I was thinking about it as I was coming here, how to describe it. There are plays that... give answers, and there are plays that pose questions. Mm. This is a play that poses questions, and the question of drugs for opioids, you know, any kind of drugs for depression, the entire country is involved. Everyone has someone in their family, probably, that's involved. This is a big issue. And audiences have indicated that to us, that this is an important thing to be talking
so
about.
Yeah,
it raises a lot of questions, and... I think in a very moving way, brings this whole issue forward, why it's so important. Happiness, really, it's happiness in a world that is in the situation that it's in is probably the biggest thing on everybody's plates. And
so on a scale from 1 to 10, heavy to, heavy being like...
No, I mean, the play is on a serious subject, but the play is very funny.
Yeah.
And
you can drink during the second
and
act.
And you can have Prosecco.
It gets funnier.
Yeah. No, it has a good balance of being moving and being...
It's a very serious topic.
Very
I mean,
funny.
So, interject... Who wrote it?
A woman called Lucy Preble. She's an English playwright. Young English playwright. I think she's 11. No, I'm not sure. but she's an up-and-coming English playwright type.
So what was it for you that made you want to do it?
It's quite different from anything I've done at the Gloucester stage. It's a more modern play. It's the way it's staged is very kind of dance-like. It's film-like, almost, mm-hmm. the play. Yeah. So that interested me, and the subject interested me, and it was kind of a conundrum when we first got it, because it's not built like other plays, so it was a challenge, interesting to do. And Brad
it's
was going to do
it's
it.
It's a hard play. Did you think it was easy to watch? What did you think?
Well, I thought it was, the acting and everything is beautiful and wonderful, but it's such a topic that is so part of our culture right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard because of the whole drug and
right.
opioid addiction issue, and, you know, 91 people die every day in this
yeah.
country from
yeah.
opioid addiction, and it's just the drug dependency in this country is so...
The over-prescription.
There's one thing I want to say about the play, how it handles it. There's two couples, the two doctors who run the trial, and then there's a younger couple who are in the trial.
Yeah.
And their relationship forms while they're in the trial. And it's
funny,
wonderful. It's a wonderful way that she's handled getting into the trial so that you can see what's happening. And the older couple, the ones who are running the trial, the doctors, had a relationship when they were younger, and so it's their meeting again under these extraordinary conditions.
And it's wonderful to watch that unfold and how
right.
that's revealed, because
right.
you don't know that right away about your relationship and
right.
about the older doctor.
Right. So it's truly a play about love.
Yeah.
It's really a play about love.
The setting
is the trial for depression.
And my husband wrote Love Potions, and the name Tristan comes from.
That's right.
Right.
The younger.
Yeah.
Male character's name is
yeah.
Tristan,
right.
and the myth is definitely part of the spring for that.
Oh my
Tristan
God.
And Isolde.
Did
yeah.
you,
There's
did
a lot
you,
in the play.
Did you see this week's issue of Time Magazine?
No.
No, it's all about the drug cascade and
yes.
opioid addiction, and it's fascinating. And you know, the drug companies call it a drug cascade, but just for example, all the opioid prescriptions, that's currently an $8.9 billion industry. And then they have constipation medication was a $1.2 billion
mm-hmm.
industry.
Really?
And now it's a $2.9 billion industry from the effects from
the opioids.
Of the
yeah.
opioid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just so...
Yeah.
It's
to me, it's very... see, in Gloucester, you know... There's a faction of the city that has, you know, actually there's drug problems everywhere, right?
Everywhere. It's worse in Ohio than it is
here. Right, right.
I think there's other layers in the play that it's important to point out. How are we finding a way of having a happy life? Who are we if we're not the most successful ones? Who are we if we don't fit into the mold? What does it mean to be sad? How do we help each other? All of these things come into the plot, which I'd like to emphasize that the play is really about love.
Yes.
Really
yeah.
about how are we loving each other now,
people.
At this moment
yeah.
in time?
Yeah.
How are we finding our way as human beings?
Yeah, and sort of the critical question in the play is what is happening in a human brain and body when one falls in love? What happens? Something happens. And can that be recreated or enhanced chemically? And that becomes sort of the basic
that's very
argument.
Oh, so that's
yeah.
a, oh,
yeah.
so it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's really
yeah.
about. I mean, it's never really said exactly what they're trying to find with this drug, this particular drug that's being tried. It's clearly an antidepressant variant of some kind, and without giving anything away, they find that it has a extraordinary effects quite quickly, and so. How does
it's
one capitalize that? Yeah, almost
yeah.
an aphrodisiac
yeah.
effect. And so how does that play into, how does that affect someone who's falling in love? How does that affect people who have fallen out of love? How does that affect people who have had lots of relationships in their lives that are now at a point where they're not happy?
Yeah.
That's very,
so it's,
see, that's
yeah.
very
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for
yeah.
bringing
it's
that up.
And there's some amusing things in that. But I think ultimately... Lucy Prebble, I think Lindsay was right when she says it's sort of cinematic in that you don't get as an audience member, I don't think, a completely clear view of the narrative until the play ends.
Yeah,
and, you know, a traditional structure of a play would be to lay out, okay, here's who these people are,
yeah,
here's the big problem, have fun,
right,
and then the play takes off. I like that kind of play, personally.
Yeah.
I have to say, just a well-constructed play. This is very different. This is more like watching... the approach to the narrative is not direct. Yeah, it has a kind of film feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exactly jump around in time. A little bit, it jumps around in time. But one scene doesn't necessarily lead exactly to another. Some scenes just kind of end, and then you go into something else. So I think from an acting point of view, when you build your performance, that you, it's a different process. So I think that was really fun and very, very challenging for all of us to do that. But having said that, the funny thing is you can feel it with the audience if they're really on board or not. And it's not just if they're laughing or not. Some nights get huge laughs, but you don't feel like they're quite into, they don't quite get the more serious stuff. Some nights it's the other way around. Some nights you have no idea. There was a performance the other day, we thought it was going terribly. We came in at the end, everybody's on their feet, but what happens?
Hopefully that
was
not.
All right, Brad, this is a question for you.
Right.
What do you suppose would have greater sales if they were released at the same time? A drug that could recreate that initial, you know, when you first fall in love, like that heavy in the heart and like you can't, like that euphoria and like you can't stop thinking and just, you know, that actual physical feeling of when you fall in love with someone for even before the honeymoon stage, right?
Right.
Or Viagra.
Well, we know how Viagra does very well, but I think the former, and I think that you've got to see the play. That's exactly what the play's about.
See,
that is precisely what
see,
the play's
I
about.
Mean, that feeling like is. I think I would totally rather have that too.
Sure.
And that's what's behind, that's one of the layers of the drug.
Yeah, well, that's
test,
the idea.
The
what is that? I mean, the way that you express that is exactly how people feel. I mean, that's what people, I mean, isn't that what you most people want most of the time if you reduce it to what do you want in life? That feeling. Is the thing.
Yeah.
So in the play, the character I play, who's not the nicest guy in the world, but he's a pharmaceutical type, he's thinking that that's a commercial opportunity that is unsurpassed. And there's actually dialogue in the play about Viagra versus that. There's a little joke about it. But yeah, I think that's what the play's about. When you say, Lindsay, that's kind of the heart of a lot of what the play's
about. So that premise must allow a million avenues for the writer.
Yeah.
It must be a great play then, because you think about that. Like I was thinking about, it's an opioid, you know, OxyCotton.
No.
Yeah, first thing that goes to my head, and very depressing and everything else. But you talk about love and that.
Yeah.
Like,
what is that?
You have to go. You should. I think you.
I gotta go. Hold on, 1 sec.
All right.
So Brad, we were talking earlier before the podcast, because we're taping this amid 4th of July weekend down the dock, Lobster Company. So the boats are coming in. So we're having. You wouldn't know this because of my incredible editing, but we have been interrupted 4 or 5 times so far. But anyway, you were telling me beforehand about your deal with your crab fisherman, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
Lindsay, wait till you hear this.
Okay.
This is, because where I live, there's a lot of crab pots, not so much lobster, but a lot of crab pots. And so my deal with the guy that has the crab pot off the beach where I go is I swim out with a bottle of wine and stick in the trap, and if I put a bottle of wine in the trap, I can take whatever I want. So
whatever
crab in there, he gets a bottle of wine. It's a good deal.
Isn't that brilliant? See, over here, if a diver or a lobsterman thinks that you're messing with their traps, you know, you don't want to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's a little different situation.
No, we made a deal before I did it.
That's good thinking.
Where is this?
That's in Santa Barbara, California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have lobster too, but it's a very short season. You guys can lobster all year, right?
Yeah.
We can't do that.
You have icky lobsters out there.
No, great lobsters.
Spiny lobsters. Flavorless.
No, it's not just spiny. We got the claws. We got the whole deal.
They're very
but it's a quick thing.
No.
But you can take it as a diver. You can take them.
Yeah.
Not all year, but you can free dive for him. And I have a friend who is he's a miracle man. Every we go out on the boat, he goes, hang on, go over to those rocks, dives off, and picks up a bug every time. It's unbelievable.
He knows where they
Some
are.
Some of you guys just know.
Well, the rocks are tell because they yeah. Go in there to hide from predators and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, lobsters were so plentiful before the in the early part. Before the colonists got here, you could just walk along the beaches and pick them up.
Yeah, pick up
they served them to the prisoners.
Yeah.
The prisoners
they
ate lobsters.
Yeah. They wouldn't eat them.
Nobody would eat them.
Told the New
well, there's no drawn butter. That
they
was the problem.
Thought
just drawn corn.
It was an evil thing.
That's right.
You should see this. So I go on, yearly I have this rant about lobster rolls. So inevitably one of the most the pretentious, you know, glossy food magazines does a top 10
right.
lobster roll in the country,
yeah.
And they trip over themselves to add the most ridiculous ingredients like tomato
and mango.
Yeah, so who can get more outrageous? And these are the people that are getting these awards. But like lobster is such a traditional, pure
just
like,
by itself, man.
By itself,
so, right? Wait, I don't even put butter on mine. I just couldn't just. Cook it and just eat it just like that.
So I go through this exercise. I eviscerate one of these pretentious foodie bloggers, to start off the lobster season, get it off right. And I like you should. It's ugly. It's really ugly.
The last one was the worst because the first 10 were not even from Massachusetts or Maine. The first 10 lobster rolls that they highlighted.
It was like Chicago. The top one was from Chicago, Colorado, Las Vegas, Austin, Texas. Like,
don't eat fish.
And that was one of my lines, right? I was like,
Where's
like,
Maine?
How do you lost all credibility right off the bat.
It's those Lake Michigan lobsters.
Yeah.
They're so delicious.
Santa Monica spiny lobster. Damn. Yeah, no. But so talk about so Wednesday there's a matinee.
Yep, Wednesday, July 5th, 2:00. Yes.
And you can get good seats. For,
yep,
so generally when you have these like added in ones, they haven't been, people didn't really know about it, so you
right,
can get great seats. There's no bad seats at the theater anyway.
Right, there's no bad seats, but the way the schedule, since we have this added show, people aren't used to it. So this, there are definitely great seats for this one.
So when is it running through?
Runs Wednesday through Saturday, so through July 8th. So July 5th, we have Wednesday, July 5th, we have a 2 p.m. and a 7:30. And then Thursday we have a 7:30 performance, and then Friday 7:30, and then closing day July 8th, Saturday, a 2 p.m. and a 7:30.
Awesome.
And alcohol is served at all of those shows.
Calling all alcoholic closet alcoholics, this is your perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity.
Alcohol and cookies. What more could you want?
Wait, I'm not an alcoholic, but I was so thrilled to know that.
No, absolutely. It really is.
Well,
amazing.
You can bring your water in too.
Yeah.
So
all right.
You can bring your water. If
What's
you want
the fun
to.
In that?
Yeah.
I know exactly.
I
my
know,
feeling.
But you always think you're supposed to not bring all those.
Those count as earned laughs then.
I think, absolutely.
Yeah. I like chocolate.
Well, I think it's a very relaxing thing to do is to be able to
sip
on water.
Sure.
It is a
yeah.
nightmare.
The British have thrived on it.
They
right?
have indeed, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
To do with
and
their
the lobby,
and their
we have some brand new tables in the lobby. We have some high tops, and you can relax or you can sit outside. So we open the lobby an hour before the show starts.
It's some nice shade there.
And we like people to come in and relax.
And the tickets are available online.
Tickets are available online or GloucesterStage.com or you can call 978-281-4433.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you, Joey.
All right. Well, that was awesome. I love it when we have the cast, castmates from the Gloucester stage.
Yes.
They're always
it's the most fun.
Actors generally, bring good stuff to the good
so
stuff to
let
the podcast.
Me say something about Lindsay and Brad. They are two of the loveliest human beings on the planet. They're not only incredibly talented and like kill it in the show every night, but off stage, I mean, we all love Lindsay. I mean, she's such a part of the community and is wonderful. But Brad came here
right,
from California,
he seems like he's so interested.
He's
in
been.
Can I read? Can I read right here? Brad has written, performed, developed, composed music for, directed, created, or produced many shows, among them Saturday Night Live, Frasier, Brooklyn Bridge, The Single Guy, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Watching Ellie, Parks and Recreation, and Veep. Brad has also written, produced, and performed in motion pictures, often in happy partnership with Gary David Goldberg and Sam Weissman. Brad attended Northwestern and is a co-founder of the Practical Theater Company in Chicago. It was at the Practical Theater that Brad first met Julia Louis-Dreyfus, with whom he has two sons. Unbelievable resume right there, and he is at Gloucester Stage.
Yes.
I mean, we've become accustomed to Lindsay being here, but now we've got Brad Hall coming in here. It's just, we're so fortunate.
He's been lovely. I think he'll come back.
But he's been lovely. He's been a part of the community. And, I mean, honestly, it's not easy to get actors 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. They had two shows yesterday. They have a matinee today.
In this sweat box, may I add. I was shocked because you contact Kim, Kim contacts me. And I was at a wedding last night and I got the text from you. I was like, oh, great, that's perfect. But then I'm thinking, Lindsay Krause is going to sit in the office and I'm going to get interrupted 500 times. I'm like, how's this going to go? No diva attitude whatsoever. And she was as pleasant as can
be.
They
are both so lovely. Yeah. They've been doing a lot of press with me. I mean, there's a lot that is, and they happily do it with a smile. They care about Gloucester Stage. I mean, we know Lindsay cares about it, but Brad cares about it too. I mean, it's just been, and I think everybody in the theater feels that way, you know?
All right.
I hope he comes back. Who's the director of the play? I meant to ask.
Sam Weissman, who, that was, I think, one of the reasons that Brad's here, because Sam and Brad have worked together for a long time, and Brad, when he moved to L.A., bought Sam's house, and then Sam lives here. And so there's all kinds of things. And Brad's wife, her little sister was Lindsay's babysitter in L.A.
Oh, she
and in 1995, Sam Weissman directed a movie and called Bye Bye Love. And Brad wrote it and produced it, and Lindsay was one of the stars.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So there's all kinds of
interesting
connections. Yeah. And Rick, Lindsay's husband, the fabulous Rick, he knows a lot of people that Brad has worked with. But, I mean, Brad is really... The first day of
I feel like I could hang out with Brad, like, on a lobster boat, or, like, on a go striper fishing with Brad, and he'd be, like, one of the guys.
Yeah.
He's that kind of cool guy.
Oh, yeah, he's been hanging out at Good Harbor, and...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. He was asking about
surfing.
He was asking about where's the good
surfing
today.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Thank you. We're gonna get back to more Gloucester Stage stuff in a moment. We have Caitlin Pazzeni.
Yes.
Did you pronounce the whole thing? Pazzeni.
Pazzeni. Yep.
Pazzeni. And you are. See, I saw this on Facebook. This group, Next Generation Cape Ann.
Yes.
You're going to be part of a thing with in conjunction with the Chamber?
We're loosely associated with the Chamber. We have support backing by the Chamber, but basically we're a group of young professionals that have come together to network, create business and personal relationships in a way to help further the work being done in Cape Ann already. A lot of us kind of felt like we were the only ones on the island, the 20, 30, 40-something-year-olds doing business. And then we realized it's a lot of us, so why not come together and share what's worked for us, what hasn't, and how we can all support each other in business and in personal life. We're really interested in helping economic development in Gloucester, as well as education, and really just moving Gloucester forward as best we can.
When I was back when I was single and going to Naples, Florida, they had a strong young professionals group.
Yeah.
And in Boston, there's young professional groups that it's a very social thing. And it was like...
It's fantastic.
It was...
Yeah,
there were many benefits on many different levels. Like, you know, the networking, but like they always had... It was always great events.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Red Sox games, everybody going together. And like, there's a lot of times when people work, when you're a young entrepreneur or a young professional, you're generally working your butt off, and there's a lot of times you don't really get to meet people because you're working your butt off. You know what I mean?
You find that the only people that you know are the people that you work with, and some. But yeah, it can be really difficult trying to find someone. I'm actually not native to Gloucester. I don't tell many people this. My husband is, but I moved here when I was 22, and I was running my own business at that point. And
what kind of business?
I still do. I own a Mary Kay business, but now we own Cape Ann Lanes, my husband and I, and his uncle. So we are...
Wait, you own Cape
yeah.
Ann Lanes?
Yeah, we just bought
I always picture, like, Cape Ann Lanes as some, like, really old... Whoever's doing the social media there is doing a fantastic job. You're doing a great job. No, because you always have, like, it's every day on Instagram. I
we're
see
trying.
Some really cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely
and
trying.
It's like a young and hip place. That place has never been young and hip. It's now young and hip.
Yeah.
Like, well, like to be fair, in the past, like, they've done, but they haven't done the social media aspect
right.
of it. But you guys are actually... All kinds of interesting kind of things happening.
Yeah, we're going all in. And one of the events that Next Generation Cape Ann had was actually a bowling night, and that was one of our more successful nights because it gives people a chance to do something while they're networking and talking. Because as a, I hate this word, but as a millennial, we don't really like to do the traditional networking. And so we have to have something to occupy us because we're the generation that has had things to occupy us in our hands mm-hmm. since we were little. So... We have to have something to do while we're talking and networking, and so we find really fun ways to do that. Our next event is actually at Cape Ann Motor Inn. Lauren is going to host us, and we're going to have a beach party. So it's going to be the Thursday Aww. after Labor Day, mm-hmm. and we're going to have just a big cookout and a beach party, some volleyball, cornhole.
I like to point to something else. Two That's segments fun. Now. Cool places that have alcohol.
Yes.
That you might not traditionally think mm-hmm. about that, a place that an alcoholic could go and hang out.
Oh,
but wait. This is once again.
Oh, Cape Ann Lane.
Yes, we
yeah.
have beer and wine.
They
and
have beer and wine.
Have more craft beer now, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, the coolest thing. The
yes.
coolest, cool. Okay, we don't want to get too off topic of the young professional thing. But see, my friend, I have some friends, Helder. From Backlash Brewing, which I'm trying to get him in there.
Yeah.
You guys are doing this, they do this craft beer night.
Yep, tap takeovers.
Tap takeover. So they bring in like the craft beer. They bring in a keg of their, or I don't
it's
know how many
like
lines
a,
they
is
have.
Is it a featured beer or
it just depends on the brewery. Right. We've done it so far with Bentwater Brewing, and it's kind of hard in the summer, but we're going to start doing it again in the fall. So we're trying to get some breweries lined up and do some tap takeovers. But
tap takeover.
Yeah.
I mean, just the name
right.
alone. I want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't even like IPAs, but I want to go because tap takeover. Yeah.
Well, we'll make sure we get some other beers, not just IPAs. For
yeah. There you go. There you go. But again, like it's
yeah.
like so. This group. Who are some of the other active people
yeah,
that are
some of the other members? Brian Eddy. He has a CPA office down on Main Street. We have Andrew Marks from Cape Ann Savings Bank. He's a loan officer there. We have Megan Merlin from Action. Paul Franklin, who's a realtor in Rockport. Lauren Mews from...
It doesn't just have to be a business owner.
No, so it's any
young professional.
We range from business owners, entrepreneurs, people who are just working for their families, businesses, or are totally separate from their family. We kind of cover
That's
all
right.
gamuts. Everyone, it's part of our group, is doing some sort of business, and that's all that matters. It's just...
All right, here's a question, though. So I discovered it through the chamber's thing. Do you have to be a chamber member to participate?
No,
okay.
You do not have to be a chamber member to participate. There's obviously benefits to being a chamber member, and full disclosure, I'm on the board of the chamber. But no one has to join. So we, you know... It's totally an open group, and you can come to events. There's no membership fees. Most of our events are free or minimal cost.
That's
just to cover the services that we're doing.
And the best way, the best way to group is through the Facebook page.
Yeah, right now with Facebook, we also have a Gmail account, so nextgenerationcapeann@gmail.com. You can contact us.
Slow that down for 1 second. Next Generation Cape Ann on Facebook.
Yep.
All right, so you can do that search. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Well, I'm not excited now because I'm an old man. But if I was a young professional, I'd be all up in it.
It's really tremendous. It's really
no, but
see,
what's exciting to me is the possibilities are endless with this.
Yes.
The possibilities, like the events that you can have.
Yeah.
I dreamed of the when I went to the I was more in Boston when in my 20s, hanging out in Boston than I was on Cape Ann. But back then. Gloucester wasn't as cool as it is now. Gloucester is like this awesome, really cool place. It's come so far along.
And that's one of our whole points, is we want to show people our age that it's cool to move back here. Like, this is one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful place to live. I didn't grow up here, and I cannot imagine living anywhere else.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is my forever home.
You might not have felt that way 20 or 30 years ago.
I didn't feel that way 8 years ago when I first came here, because I felt like I was outside of the group. But then doing business in Gloucester was what found me lifelong friendships.
Yeah.
And people that were worth being, you know, living here and being here forever. So it's really great.
Yeah, so Caitlin, my wife-to-be, just walked in. She will say the same exact thing you did. So you did not feel the same way about Gloucester 8 years ago as you do now.
I hated it.
Yep.
So get me out of here. Couldn't wait to leave. And then couldn't wait to come back.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So she's part of a group, Next Generation K Band, young professional group, that is like the upstart, kind of doing events in Gloucester, kind of in conjunction with the chamber, but on their own, and that was the point that she was just making.
So Kay could be in that. You could be in that.
You're
not young anymore.
Yeah,
sure. There's like an age limit.
We don't technically have an age limit. We're welcome.
Young at heart. Young at heart. No, no, you can't say that. You're going to have some pervy old dudes going to show up.
You said 20s,
30s. 20s, 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
I
make the cut then.
Yeah,
you
do.
The cut.
Yeah,
small
so
window now.
Yeah, I got 5 months and then I'm out. I can't do it anymore, right?
Yeah. You're that creepy old man.
Yeah. Right, that's exactly what I was just saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Honey, I'll see you later. I got some place to go tonight.
Professional.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So the best thing to do is to get on. What is your next event now?
So it's at Cape Ann Motor Inn. It's a beach party. We're gonna have volleyball, cornhole. I'm sure we'll have some sort of alcohol. We'll figure that out. Grill out. It's gonna be at the Cape Ann Motor Inn the Thursday after Labor Day. So
there you go.
We'll post more details, but that's what we have in the works right now.
We will post a link to the Facebook page and encourage people to check it out.
Great.
Yeah. Anytime. You know what? We also have a Cape Ann community for nonprofits.
Yes.
So I'll send you direct access, so you can post directly to there.
Perfect.
And then I just reblog it to Good Morning Gloucester, where all the traffic is.
That's good. And anyone that's interested in this group, I really recommend it. I can't tell you how many connections I've already made that have helped me in business and life just in the last 6 months when we've really been starting this group up. So
the sky is the limit.
Yes.
Blowing
absolutely.
It up.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. We're back with Heidi Dallin and her intern/slaves at...
Hey. Apprentices.
Sorry. I didn't mean...
And colleagues.
They get lured in under the guise of learning how to do the theater stuff, and they're working the concession stand. That's how I understand it.
Yeah, but they like the sweet tips at the concession stand.
There you
so
go,
that's
there
why
you
we
go.
Want to bring, you know, when big spenders like old guys like you come in, you know, they
dollar bill, y'all.
No, they all live in a house in Lanesville.
Oh.
On High Street. There's,
whoa.
What, 8 of you?
Yeah, tell them our address, Heidi.
They're really cute
creepy,
young girls.
Creepy stalkers. Creepy stalkers. They're just about.
But they can walk to Plum Cove Beach.
Oh, wait, so you guys aren't from around here then?
Mm-hmm. I went to school at Gordon.
Wow. So this must be really nice to be here for the summer.
Is it a whole summer thing? Are you here for the summer?
Yeah, we're here until the end of October.
I'm here
until
the end of
December. And Annika's here till December because she's the education apprentice, and she'll be here for Holiday Delights. So
as part of the education apprentice, does she teach people how to do the cash register and count the money and take
no,
the tickets?
They all know that.
Sweep the floors.
They all know that. That's
just teasing.
Yeah.
No, this is a great opportunity. Listen,
yeah.
You got Lindsay Krause, you're hanging out with Lindsay Krause and Brad Hall, Saturday Night Live, and Lauren Alder, and all this. This is an unbelievable opportunity for you. I jest. We have all kinds of stuff happening.
Yes, we
right
do.
Now. We are in full swing at the Gloucester Stage. Tell me about Gloucester Stage Company proudly presents Playtime Stories.
So Playtime, at Gloucester Stage, we start with audiences from 2 years old and up. And next Saturday, July 8th, not only do we have two performances of the effect, but at 10 a.m., we have Playtime Stories for ages 2 years old and up, and that is run by the fabulous education apprentice, Annika Schultz.
Ah, see?
And she can tell us a little bit more about the stories that we're doing and what's going on.
Annika, tell me what a parent can expect.
Yeah, so you'll come in and there'll be plenty of older kids around to help keep an eye on things. We usually have free coffee available, good to know, for early mornings.
Mm.
And then there will be a small little performance for the children. It'll be based off of a popular kids book. So this weekend, not this weekend, sorry, the next weekend we're doing 3 Eric Carle stories. It'll be The Very Hungry Caterpillar, The Grouchy Ladybug, and Papa Please Get the Moon for Me. That's on July 8th. And so they'll do those stories for the kids to watch, just acted out in our lobby. And then there'll be a fun craft afterward for the kids to do, and we'll have lots of people around to help out with the craft.
It's only $5 a person?
Yeah. Only $5, yeah.
Wait, okay, here's a question. Do you drop the kid off, or do you have to be there with the kid?
Well, if it's a 2-year-old...
Right, that's what you said, 2-year-old. I'm like, I can't imagine.
Yeah, you need to stay, but we have free coffee. You can have a cup of coffee. I mean, we don't serve alcohol. The alcohol's there. No one's ever asked us for alcohol. But
maybe if Japan gets on.
You know, but
once
we
again.
But we would sell it, I guess. We would sell it. And we do it in the lobby. And the performers are our YAW students.
Oh, what?
The Youth Acting Workshop students.
Okay, yeah.
So it's all middle school and high school students. And our apprentice company also makes special appearances performing. Oh. And the TV screens have the illustrations of the book. Annika does a fabulous, movie presentation. And then the kids act in front of it. And then we have a big table set up. And Annika comes up with a couple of great crafts that have something to do with the story. So every kid that's there gets to take something home with them.
$5 per person.
Right.
It's
and
a
basically
no-brainer.
The parents can just sit back because the older kids... And Annika
are amusing the children.
Yeah. And we're doing Virginia Lee Burton. That's
July 15th.
July 15th. Mm-hmm. It's Virginia Lee Burton Day. And
Mike Mulligan and his team Shovel in the Little House.
Yep.
Then on July 22nd, if you give a mouse a cookie, Dr. DeSoto and the little mouse, the ripe red strawberry and the big hungry bear. July 29th, Where the Wild Things Are in Corduroy. All right, Heidi, the Young Playwrights Festival, Tuesday, September 19th at 7:30 p.m.
But we have submissions, or we're going to start accepting submissions. This is brand new. No one knows about this.
Okay. Ooh, breaking news.
You're breaking news. You're the first people to know about this.
Very exciting.
This is something I've wanted to do for a long time. We're a playwright-focused theater. We do world premieres. We do New England premieres. We do new plays. Why not new plays for the younger generation?
I love how you're bringing up future patrons.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing everything Heidi does.
Oh.
Like I know the King boys.
Oh,
you
amazing.
They could take or leave acting. They're there for Heidi.
Oh, God.
They're there for Heidi. More than
straight up.
They're so sweet. Well, I could not.
The place crumbles without Heidi.
Crumbles. I could not do anything without
the apprentices.
There is no way. The only reason this Young Playwrights Festival is happening is because when I mentioned it kind of offhand, Elizabeth said, I'm into that. I think that's awesome.
Ah.
And she started designing a flyer and doing research.
Wow. Is this the flyer?
Yeah, that's the flyer that we have now. And we also have the URLs on the flyer, but on our website, on the education tab, the Young Playwrights section, we have a little section of our website with some more information, and that's where you submit the plays as well.
Oh, you don't have to go in there. You just submit it.
No, and it's a 10-minute play, and then in September we'll do the festival, and we're hoping that, you know, the apprentices will be directing some of them and working with the young playwrights. And
so how much...
And how? What's the age group?
Anyone under 18 is welcome to submit a play.
Oh.
How much? So they have to. Are they going to act? The people that write it out, are they going to be? Are they going to present the play too?
Well, it'll be a staged reading. We'll do it at the stage company, and
the
actors.
Oh my God! My daughters would love.
Well,
this.
Your daughters.
They write little things all the time.
And what will happen is the YAW students will be acting in them if there are adult roles or. role, you know, the apprentices will act in them. You know.
No. All right, so the Young Playwrights Festival.
Yep, and we have a free to help kids to, if maybe to get them started or to get some ideas. Annika, the education apprentice, will be offering a free playwriting workshop. On July
26th at 9 a.m.
Fantastic.
2 hours, anybody can come, it's free. There's a theme to kind of give the kids kind of a jumping off point. Go ahead, Annika.
Yeah, so the theme is, we described it as friendships and followers, and it's about how relationships and friendships nowadays are impacted by technology and especially social media. Because all of us are definitely impacted by it. I know I'm addicted to my phone in a way I don't like, but that's something I do need to acknowledge. And with kids of this generation, it's basically been their whole life. They've been involved with that technology. I've had young kids follow me on Instagram, for example, who I never would have expected to have one at my age, but they do because it's just so much of a stronger presence now. So we would really love to hear their perspective on things, because it's one even somebody as young as I am can't really understand the way they do, how much it is impacting this next generation.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because, like, it's so hard, you know, like, of course, like, for example, we didn't even have a computer in our house until my daughter was 10 or 11 years old, and when she really needed it for school. Like, I wrote out a book longhand, and then I had to give it to her to type it into the computer because I didn't know anything about it, you know. Anyways, it's just like, it's just jumping so quickly. You're going from, like, one generation is so involved in it compared to people who are 80 years old who are just so left out in a way. It's kind of sad in a way.
Youth.
All right, next, the youth Gloucester Stage Youth Acting Workshops.
We start Friday, July 7th. It's a six-week program, age 5 to 18. It's on Fridays for 6 weeks, and we have special guests. I teach. Annika will help with teaching.
Wonderful.
And we have special guests, and Friday, July 7th, we're kicking it off. Our special guest for the teen class on Friday is none other than Mr. Brad Hall is going to come in and teach.
No-brainer. Okay, July 7th.
Throughout, you sign up for the six-week session. Lindsay Krause is going to be coming in over the six weeks. It's really incredible.
Well,
we start 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
How much does it cost?
$185.
For 6 weeks?
For 6 weeks.
And you get people like Brad Hall
and
Lindsay Krause.
Yep. So,
no-brainer. There you go.
It's amazing. And all ages, and we're divided up by age groups. Annika and I are there from 9 a.m. to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the kids cycle in. Great group, you know, wonderful kids from all over.
And the information is on the Gloucester Stage website.
Everything's on the Gloucester Stage website, thanks to Elizabeth.
Boom. You guys are the best.
That's very good.
All right. Let's talk about the Plovers now, because this is huge.
It is huge.
This is a huge, huge... Did we talk about this earlier? Well, a little bit. We touched upon it. But we really need to delve into this. Catherine Ryan started the Twitter account at GloucesterPlover.com.
Right.
Yeah. And it's GLOSTA, Plover.com.
Okay. And people can also, she and I both put up the links. You can also, if you're taking care of the Plovers, you put your notes onto a Google page that she made, and you can read everybody's notes, which are really interesting and sweet, and people talking about, you know, what they observed while there. So we have a group of volunteers watching the Plovers, basically.
Is there a sign-up sheet for times?
You email Ken Whitaker. And I put that in several posts, and he will assign you to times that are available.
Now, does he also, do they kind of give you instructions on what it is?
Yes, he'll...
So where are we at now?
Okay.
With the last year was the first year that we detected plovers nesting on
Good
Harbor Beach.
That's right.
This year...
So this year, it's probably the same couple, because their nest is almost in the identical place. So we had six come, we had six plovers come to Good Harbor, and the only two stayed to nest. We also have an interloper, or a third wheel, who keeps trying to break in on them.
Hey now.
And then, so on Thursday, 10 days ago, or perhaps it's 11 days, I have to do the math, the four chicks they hatched, and unfortunately we've lost one. So we had four, and one has not been, we've only seen three since yesterday, unfortunately. But yesterday was so crazy at Good Harbor Beach. It was wall-to-wall people. And at this point, see, people don't understand. Like, they see the enclosed area, and they think the chicks are in there. No, that's kind of their home base. From 2 days old, they are zooming like little rockets all around the beach.
Yeah.
So, and then they run back in. Mm-hmm. So they have an idea that that is their home base, and that area is not raked. So, which is excellent, because that means there's a lot more food there, because a lot of insects are interested in this dried seaweed, and that's what the little plovers are eating, are little tiny insects. So that's why they don't rake that area, and that helps the little plovers survive. So we're watching them. You know, they have a couple of rituals where they go way down the creek and then come back, and people are taking hour to an hour and a half shifts. You can
So do you kind of follow behind them a certain distance, or what do you do?
Well, there's a couple things. You stay pretty, you don't get too close to them, because it makes the, you know, parents
anxious.
They get very stressed, and then instead of chasing after seagulls and crows, they start chasing after you. And you don't want them to do that. You want them to pay attention to the seagulls and the crows, because those are, you know, predators of the babies. So you stay from a distance, and a lot of people have binoculars. You just watch them, and you also talk to people. Like, say a little plover chick is running down the beach, and you see somebody running this way. You kind of say to the person, "Oh, by the way, there's a little plover right there in your footpath, right there, right where you're going to run.
Please, yeah.
Please." Or I guess there was a big run-in though yesterday with the volleyball people, because the volleyball people are insisting on setting up their whole volleyball court net and gear and everything right next to where the plovers are nesting. And so even though they've been asked very nicely, they still want to be in that one particular area. Now, we're wondering if maybe they were told they have to stay in that one area. We don't know. But
it's traditionally the place where they set up, maybe?
Traditionally where they set up is right next to the piping plover nesting area.
Well,
so
the piping plover showed up next to where they traditionally set up
exactly,
their things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I mean, not that they shouldn't be able to move it, but
right.
I almost like,
right.
I mean, I
don't,
yeah. I,
we don't
they
mean,
should, they should, they should,
right.
If they were, move their thing. I get a little bit like, you know.
Yeah, but you know, you.
But they should.
We don't
hopefully
want.
They
we want to make the piping plovers a joyful thing for people on the
right.
beach. You know what I mean?
Not a thing that's shutting down the beach,
right.
or the perception that you're shutting
right.
down the beach, because then people flip
them.
Out,
right.
and then you
and
lose
then
you, lose everybody at that
right.
point, except
right.
for the hardcore bird people.
Right.
I have to
right.
stop 1 second
right.
and say your pictures. Unbelievable.
Oh,
with the baby chicks and everything.
So
you did an unbelievable job with those photos.
Oh, thank you.
What lens is that? How far away are you?
It's my 400mm lens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's jammed, so I'm having some trouble with it. I had trouble with it at the
is
Greek
it
people
sand?
Too. No, I dropped it and dented it.
Oh, okay. 400. Is there insurance on that?
It's the one, because I was thinking, oh, a lens, I've never damaged a lens. Do I need insurance on that? No, I didn't get insurance on my $1,900 lens. So it has to go to it's the one piece of camera equipment I never bought that Mac plan on. So it has to go to the repair, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, that's a boring story, but
yeah.
So, but while I'm really filming, and I just, you know, every now and then I stop and take a few pictures as well. So all this is like, all this beautiful life stories that's unfolding right here on our shores. See, people don't understand how special it is, because most species of plovers, like black-bellied plovers and semi-palmated plovers, they're breeding way up in the Arctic. Like, their little eggs are up in the Arctic. Piping plovers breed and nest in our area, which makes it really, you know, we get to see this. Like, if you're one of the piping plover babies, babysitters, you love being there because you just like watching them, you know, run around and do their little thing.
She get badges. She get piping plover badges.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know who's, you know, family's being really sweet, like the King boys. We love the King boys,
yeah.
But
yes.
George and Charles are down there every morning.
I've seen them.
Yeah. 6:30 to 7. They take
kids.
Notes.
Future presidents.
Yeah.
Future president
awesome.
And senator. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Future
okay.
presidents.
Yeah.
The whole family is doing.
So
Cliff
very
was
cool.
down there with them.
So we need to, there's a whole bunch of links I need to add
yes.
to this whole thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
the
awesome.
So there's a sign up sheet thing.
Ken Whitaker, mass.mass.gov or something. Yeah. And so I think. You can definitely find it. I can put up another Piping Plover pose from the photos I took this morning if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, there's a few more. I mean, so people can see what a 10-day-old chick looks like. I'll just put one up.
Very cool. You said you went to the Franklin, and you had there was a private function upstairs at the Franklin?
We went to an exquisite dinner party last night. It was so... But I just want to say that everybody... I mean, of course, the people were wonderful, but the service was outstanding, and the food was just fabulous, and it's just a wonderful place to go to have a private dinner party. I'd never experienced it.
Well, Maria's had the staff there for a while.
Up on the
they're
second...
They're pros. I mean,
yeah,
like the Franklin, they are pro.
They're pros.
They're pros. At this point, like, they are seasoned. They are executing... comfortably and
wines were beautiful. Our waiter was Stefan D'Amico. He was just the other waiter was wonderful. I just don't know his name, unfortunately, but I was just knocked over by how beautiful and how well they did it.
We're
and
so
just,
blessed here.
I had dinner at the Franklin a couple weeks ago, and it was late night because where you go after the theater,
right?
That's what we did. It was really good. And Jim and Kathy Turner, from Turner's. They came. Jim came after he finished with the restaurant in Melrose, and they have a bottle of wine there that Jim loves, and he always orders it. So.
Jim Turner is still working at the restaurant. He goes in and stuff.
Jim Turner?
Yeah.
He's not that old.
He's not?
No.
Yeah, but. I figured that they'd have managers like that. I didn't figure that he was like actively like busting his ass at 10 o'clock at night.
Do you have managers, Joey?
No,
you still
I don't.
Bust your all the Turners work in the restaurants and the fish market
and Salem though too.
Yeah, the Salem restaurant, his brother and sister, all the Melrose restaurant, the Salem restaurant, the fish market. Jim Turner's there on a Saturday night. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's
Jesus.
A family business.
It's
I mean, you understand
business.
That. And they
yeah, but I figured that they had plenty of dough already that they would be done by now.
They and their kids now, their kids who, Jim, James Turner and Mark Turner, the two, James, then like
a whole other kids.
James,
are they out of college and stuff?
No. Mark just graduated from high school. James is going to be a freshman.
Weren't they involved at St. Anne's, St. Mel's, I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, they were
very involved and with me at the theater.
Mm.
And they all work there now. All the kids work there, too.
Mm.
And James took a gap year after he graduated from high school. He's going to go to Dartmouth next year. And he worked at the restaurant all year.
Aww.
And...
Jeez, if I was taking a gap year, I think I'd take it in Europe, not at a fish restaurant.
I have a feeling you would have taken your gap year here, probably. You would have.
No, because if it was within my power to make the decision, there is absolutely no way I was going to be here, because I was here since I was 9 years old summer while my friends were going by on boats. With girls with bikinis on, and I had to look at them while I was shoveling stinky fish.
No,
I wasn't going to take a gap year and hang out with Captain Joe and Sons. No, that's not going
to
happen. That would not be my that's why I say I'm surprised the kid is going to Dartmouth that he took a gap year to work at a restaurant. If I'm going to if you take a gap year, I would want to. You're not leaving.
Because he needs
I don't
work.
Care. You're not leaving. You're not leaving.
To
Because he needs to work. Listen, you need to commiserate with the boys.
Oh,
he's
I see.
He's working.
I
he's
see.
Gotta,
I see. Make some cheddar.
You know?
Yeah.
He's got to get out there and work. It's a family business.
I got you.
Business
well.
They're hard workers, yeah.
They are hard workers. No, they're brilliant.
Caitlin knows.
Yeah.
Business never stops.
Yeah.
So what was that?
Caitlin knows business never stops.
Is not believe I get it. Yeah, entrepreneurships. You see the thing about like family businesses and stuff. You're not working for a big Fortune 500 company that has this like you know because
right.
they have 10,000 employees. They get health insurance for their employees for $1,000 or $2,000 or $4,000 a year. Like when you have a small business, health insurance for family plan is like $20,000. So you got to crank. You have to crank.
Yeah,
Kim is abandoning us.
Yeah.
She's leaving us, abandoning us.
It's a holiday
in a
weekend.
Moment of. That's all right. Heidi's here.
Yeah,
I know.
Heidi's here.
Heidi and Karen.
And Karen Pischke's here.
Right.
And Caitlin and Pizzani's here.
And they can.
They're gonna carry the load.
That's right. Well,
they're carrying the load. Hey, best wishes to Alex and
Jessica.
Yeah,
Jessica. She's. I mean.
Well, Alex
she's already.
She's
already a week late. We'll be having
baby
a little,
on the way.
Maybe next week we'll have a baby
week.
Granddaughter.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bye.
Take
bye.
Care, Kim. Take care,
bye.
Kim.
Bye.
Karen Pischke, you have the Love Fest.
Yes. This month we have 4 Love Fests, but this coming week we have 2. July 7th, the Love Fest, I'm sorry, July 6th. Thursday, July 6th from 7 to 7 all day long at the Willow Rest on 1 Holly Street. And it's in conjunction with the Dalai Lama's birthday, so the focus will be love and kindness. And then July 8th, Saturday, we're at the Rocky Neck Cultural Center in conjunction with the opening reception for artists and drawings.
So another love fest.
Another love fest.
So what do you, is it like, do you paint the front door purple?
No, the love fest, it's an interactive, it's an interactive community art project. You see purple and red? I don't know. So, The Love Fest, it's an interactive community art project that's traveling all through Gloucester this summer, and it's a giant easel with banner roll paper, and people are just coming up and writing
positive messages.
Gloucester, what does love mean to you? And it's to get people to focus on love and positivity and kindness. And what's been really cool, we're at all these different venues all summer long, and every venue has a unique essence to it. So we're at the Writer Center, and a lot of people are writing a little bit more intellectual quotes and things like that, and haiku and poetry. And then we were at the Magnolia Farmers Market, and that was a lot of kids and family focus, so it's been really fun to see the kids participating and generations of families participating.
Where can you find the
schedule?
No, what the actual scrolls once they're all done.
They're all going to be at City Hall the week of September 18th, which happens to coincide with the September 21st International Day of Peace. So from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. that week, Monday through Thursday, they're going to be on display at City Hall. And it's bringing all the different neighborhoods together and community and focusing on love.
Wonderful.
And then we're going to be July 16th at the Reed's Ride. There's going to be a love fest at Reed's Ride. And Reed's Ride is a big fundraiser that cycles 28 miles from Linfield to Stage 4 Park. So that's going to be a focus. It's for the...
I always thought it was motorcycles. For the years, I always thought it was motorcycles.
Yeah.
It's bicycles.
Yeah.
I see you the same way, same as me, right?
Yeah.
Reed's Ride. Boom, 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 boom. Guys on Harleys and stuff. No. If you... Like, your perception of what Reed's Ride, if you were like me, you were thinking of guys with hogs and the girls
on the
back and the big papa with the big belly.
Tattoos.
But no, it's
no
like... It's
there.
Bikers with funny biking uniforms with the nut hugger. Like, everything's all squashed up in there. And,
you
know, driving in the middle of the road in the middle of summer so you can't get around them.
So, and it's really a family.
No, it's all positive. It's all positive.
Yeah, and they're raising money for adolescents and young adults in treatment for cancer. They lost their son, Reed, at a young age to sarcoma. So, you can still sign up for Reed's Ride, and the website for that is firstgiving.com/Reed's Ride. Or either to sign up as a cyclist or to donate. And this family has done an amazing job of raising money. I think this is the 13th year, but they've been able to raise enough money to start centers for adolescents and young adults.
Is the start and finish at, is the finish at Stage Fort Park?
Stage Fort Park, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good spot.
Well, and this is a beautiful place to cycle. I mean,
it's all along
not
the ocean.
To bring it back to Brad Hall, but Brad Hall bought a bike in Manchester at Seaside Cycle. He loves to bike, and he wanted to bike when he was here, so he bought himself a bike. He needed a new one. And he's been biking all over Cape Ann.
So is he still going to be here July 16th?
No, he's going to be gone. I'm sorry, because I would tell him. He would have done it, I'm sure. He did a 50-mile bike ride last week.
I'd love to go out for pizza with Brad Hall. I would like to go out for pizza and beer with Brad Hall. Yeah, it just seems like such a great, just a laid-back, cool cat. I really like him. So that's fantastic. Thank you for that information. Reach Ride. And you know what? When all kidding aside, like, if there... Like on the level of what you would want to give, like, is there anything more sad than a child with illness? You know what I mean? Or cancer? I mean, to me, there is no more sad thing than
that. That's a great thing the family has done by honoring and to helping people. I mean, it's really
right. And the energy of the group, the energy of the event is unbelievable. So if you've never been there, if you can even just come out to Stage Fort Park to see what it's all about, and they have all kinds of activities at the end for kids, and they have raffles, and we're actually there doing Reiki massage and reflexology for the riders in the wellness tent. So it's a really amazing family, and they're at Tufts Medical Center and another hospital in Connecticut.
So Kim was going to talk about this. I'll just mention it. There's the sign at Good Harbor Beach footbridge is down. The reason it's down is they're going to undergo some really great renovations there. So look for reporting on that from Kim and I guess they're going to put like a foot wash thing in there so you don't bring sand home from the beach.
Wow.
And a bunch of other improvements. Nice to see improvements at the there. I want to give a big time shout out to our friend Tom Balfe, who's all done at the Gloucester Maritime. Under Tom's stewardship, that place, the programming there grew exponentially. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but before Tom came, whenever something was kind of proposed, it was, you know, we don't have the time, we don't really have the staff for that, we can't do this. Tom Balfe came there, and things started happening big time, like a lot of program. He was responsible, in my view, his background put some great structure in place for that place to really take off, and I think it's a huge it's a great thing for our city, obviously. I think that's it. Check out Next Generation Cape Ann on Facebook, Reed's Ride. Check out Karen Pischke's Love Fest, July 6th at the Well Rest, and July 8th at Rocky Neck Cultural Center. What's the website where people can find more information?
On Facebook, GloucesterTees.com.
Facebook, GloucesterTees.com. We'll put a thing there. Check out the effect at Gloucester Stage and all the programming. And check out, if you want really great seats, the Wednesday matinee.
Wednesday matinee, 2 p.m., July 5th.
The youth acting workshops, no-brainer. Taught by actress Heidi Dallin and the Gloucester Stage artist. Saturday Night Live alum Brad Hall is going to be there for one of them. Lindsay Krause is going to be there for one of them.
The managing director, Jeff Zinn, who's an author, wrote a book about acting.
Yeah, I mean, a tremendous opportunity. That's a six-week session, begins July 7th, which is coming up. For information and class times, call Heidi, 978-283-6688. Young Playwrights Festival. They're now accepting submissions for playwrights 18 or under. Playtime Stories. And we'll put a link to the Gloucester Stage Company where all that information is ready. Thank you guys for coming on this 4th of July holiday weekend.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Boom. Thank you.